Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Y'all doing good tonight? We're good? All right. All the beautiful people out on Wednesday nights. Well, there's three of you, but that's good. Every now and then I get questions, and I think they're legitimate questions. Sometimes people get hung up about whether or not they can have a Christmas tree in their house. And I always tell people, I haven't heard it as much lately, but man, it always comes around. And people are like, you ought not to have a Christmas tree in your house because it's a heathen practice. And I always tell people this. Well, one, we put Christmas trees up all over the church. We're not worshiping the trees.
Amen.
We're looking at them. And if you like Christmas trees, have at it. So don't, and with no condemnation. We're not dancing around them and worshiping them. How many of you have more than one Christmas tree in your house? Yeah. Oh, go ahead, just act like, go ahead. Yeah, you got to be bold. That's what. How many of you have more than three? There we go. Four? How many of y'all got? Six. You got them in the bathroom? What do you got? We got you. Walking in the kitchen, there's a tree. Jordan and I have one tree. It's about this big. Comes pre-lighted. So you're just Scroogey. No, I'm economical. Darn. We're going to jump into our thing. Let's talk about a scripture. I won't spend too long on this one, but it's kind of, wealth from get-rich schemes quickly disappears. Wealth from hard work grows over time. That word wealth from get-rich, that's how the New Living Translation, other translations seem to indicate wealth from dishonesty quickly disappears. And wealth from hard work grows over time. It tells me a couple of things. One, the Lord's not opposed to your material goods, your wealth growing over time. He's not opposed to hard work. He's just opposed to dishonesty and scams. And so there's always scams out there. You just want to learn to avoid them. I've been scammed before. I'm supposed to have some oil wells in Israel. It sounded spiritual. It was a scam. Do not mention oil wells to Joy. She gets upset. We're going to talk about, because we have a God, I'm going to go over something tonight I think will really help us, and I'm going to take a little time, and because I sensed last week when I was talking about some things, I don't think, you guys are good, y'all don't put the brakes on me, but I could tell this is something I needed to repeat and go over, and so we're going to, how many of you don't mind repetition as long as it's not boring, so it won't be boring, but we'll go over this again. But let's pray and believe God to help us. Father, thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your word and your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, that our hearts are open and we're receptive. Father, show us things we hadn't seen before, and things we have seen make it even more real to us. And Lord, we're just appreciative of you. Thank you for this time. Thank you for the people that came with the ones who are watching online. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I was thinking we're going to still look at this story of David and Goliath, and I wanted to talk about David because David has such a great relationship with the Lord. You can just tell his connection with the Lord is strong. And the story, I was thinking about the story of David and Goliath. It gives us a lot of details about this story, and whenever the Bible goes into details, it's for a purpose. It says in Romans 15:4, it's not on your notes or in your screen. Romans 15:4 said, the things that were written before were written for our learning, so that we, through perseverance and the comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. And so when we read these stories in the Old Testament, it's to give us insight into New Testament truths, but also principles, spiritual principles at work. And so there was something about David facing Goliath and some of the story about this that God wanted us to get. Or he would have just said, and David went out and killed the giant. But that gives us a lot of details. And so tonight I just want to take a look at some of these. And so we talked about last week, and I'm going to go over it again, but let's read 1 Samuel 17, chapter 31 through 37. Goliath had come out, and the two armies, Israel and the Philistines, were facing one another. David had come out and was once again facing Goliath. Goliath was a huge man who was a warrior who kept really talking trash to the Israeli army. And 40 days, 40 nights, he just keeps going. And so David said, he was down there, he's a young man. He's like, what are they going to give the guy who kills this guy? And so what David said was overheard and reported to Saul. David was the only one talking about killing him. Everyone else was talking about running from him. So he had David brought to him, and David said to Saul, don't let anyone be discouraged by him. Your servant, talking about himself, will go and fight this Philistine. But Saul replied, you can't go fight this Philistine. You're just a youth, and he's been a warrior since he was young. And David answered Saul and said, your servant has been tending his father's sheep. Whenever a lion or a bear came and carried off a lamb from the flock, I went after it, struck it down, and rescued the lamb from its mouth. If it reared up against me, I'd grab it by its fur and strike it down and kill it. Your servant has killed lions and bears. This uncircumcised Philistine would be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. Then David said, the Lord, who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and may the Lord be with you. He must have impressed Saul, because Saul let him go. So David had a testimony. So he's standing before Saul, and he recalls how the Lord had helped him in the past, and he affirmed that God would help him again. So he's talking about that. And last week I began to talk about that we can have a similar testimony of believing that God is for us. And when I began to go over that, I realized this is probably something we need to go over more. The belief that God is for us. And so we talk about, so well, you know, I'm not David or I'm not anything special. If you belong to the Lord, then you have a right to believe this. And the idea where we get that from is from Scripture. And so we read this Scripture. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who's against us? He did not even spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him grant us everything? When we see this, if God's for us, who can be against us? And I realized as I was talking about that you have to build this truth into your life. I think most of us, quite honestly, are very accustomed to talking problems. I talk to people all the time. And a lot of times people come and please don't be embarrassed to come and tell me what you're dealing with. But I talk to people. It's very rare that I hear someone say, I want to tell you something. God's helped me before. He's going to help me again. I just don't hear that much. Now, I'm not blaming you. I'm just saying is we've been trained to talk problem and talk what we feel and talk what we see. So when we're talking about changing this thing, this really involves mind renewal. You know, in Romans 12, it said, don't be conformed or molded to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove that that's good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Mind renewal means we're changing our mindset. And to change the mindset, I want to tell you something, guys. Church is helpful. You come here, and I'm talking to Wednesday night people. I'm talking to the SWAT group of the church. You're people who are here on Wednesday nights. Y'all put up with more on Wednesday nights because y'all know I'll get in your business on Wednesday night. I've heard some people say, oh, we'd much rather come on Sunday. I feel you, but anyway, you gotta really have to change and develop this in your thinking. So in other words, you can hear it and go, oh, that's good. But if you don't do something with that, you won't build that truth into you. And so, you know, we're talking about that, and oftentimes I think sometimes I take for granted, because I've grown up with this, and I grew up with a lot of teaching, and they were teaching us about taking God's word and beginning to speak that out loud. Now I have a little book that I'll write down scriptures. And I write down scriptures that may deal with things I'm dealing with at the moment, or things I want to build into my life. For example, no show of hands, but if you ever felt like, I'm not very good at letting people know I'm a Christian. Well, you know, the thing about it is you can change that. You say, well, how do I change it? Because I've just always been a kind of a shy person, and I don't want to push my religion off on anybody. We're not talking about pushing your religion off. We're talking about testifying that you love the Lord, he's good to you, and you're not ashamed of him. And sometimes people get blasted about this. You say, but how do I deal with that? Romans, first chapter. If you go to Romans first chapter, again, not on your notes, this is free tonight. but Romans, if you go to Romans chapter 1, if you did bring your Bible there, verse 16 says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God's revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So let's say you're kind of embarrassed, or it's hard for you to admit that you're a Christian, or maybe you don't want to tell anybody you're a Christian, but you don't want to stay that way. So how do you change it? Well, here's it in your time of devotion times, because after you read your chapter, because everybody reads their chapter here. But you could go to this verse and right here, and this is what you take these words, and you talk to the Lord with them. Let me just show you this. So here's what I would do. I would just take this verse and I would read it. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And I'd stop right there. I'd say, Lord, I just want to thank you. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Because, Lord, it is the power of your, it's your power to salvation to everyone who believes. And I'm a believer. Yes. And, Father, in the righteousness of God is revealed. Father, thank you that I am in right standing with you. It's revealed from faith to faith. The just shall live by faith, and I live by faith. So by faith, I want to declare that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. So what you're doing is you're not manipulating God. I've heard people say, well, you're trying to manipulate God. That is the most ridiculous thing I have ever heard in my life, that I am going to manipulate the creator of heavens and the earth. That's crazy. What I am doing, I'm in trouble again. I just call people crazy. Justin says, not the first time. You're right. Well, thank you, Justin. But I'm not manipulating God. I'm taking his words and going back to him with it.
Right. Yes.
So, listen, you say, well, that feels weird. Everything that's new is weird. Right. Kissing is weird. We'll stop there. No one's an expert so what happens is, the more you do it, the more it gets in you. And then what gets in you starts to come out of you. Now, I asked, anybody work with ChatGPT at all? Anybody? That's AI. I don't, but Matt does. So I just walked up there tonight. I said, Matt, ask ChatGPT to give me 10 verses on overcoming fear. 20 seconds later, he had them. So you think, well, I don't know. Ask ChatGPT. They know. But here's the thing. Don't just take them and go, oh, that's nice. Take them and then begin to take those verses and repeat them back to the Lord. Here's the thing. You've got nothing to lose. You've got nothing to lose. Well, I don't want to say that I'm not ashamed. What if I feel ashamed? Listen, we're not living by feelings. We live by faith. And so we can say by faith without a single feeling going on. Lord, I thank you. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And so you say, well, you know, I've always been a timid person. I've always been scared. Well, aren't you glad for 2 Timothy 1:7 that said God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So you begin to take those verses and begin to, and then you put yourself in them. See, this is how you can have a devotional time with the Lord. You're taking what he says and just repeating it. Now, as I was thinking of that, there's a passage in Luke where, again, it's now in your notes. Like I said, this is all free stuff tonight. That Jesus was dealing with getting ready to go to the triumphal entry. So he came, he's going to the village. So he got a couple of his disciples. This is Luke 19:30. Go into the village opposite you where you enter. You will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went their way and found it just as he said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owner said, why are you loosing the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of him. And then they brought the colt to Jesus. Now, I read that story and I thought, Jesus told them where to go, but he also told them what to say. So can you imagine those two guys going, they're walking into town, they're going, I think the Lord just asked us to steal a colt. Said, no, we're not stealing it, we're borrowing it. But what are we going to say to people? Because Jesus says, why we're loosing it, and someone says, why are you loosing it? These guys could have come up with a lot of other things to say. But by this time, they had learned that if Jesus says to say it, then that's what we need to say. So they're loosing the colt, and someone says, why are you loosing the colt? They look at one another and go, because the Lord has need of it. And he goes, okay, let him go. And they're walking out going, that worked. And it did work. And it'll work for you too. When the Lord has told us to say something, we need to say what he tells us to say. Instead of saying, I'm so afraid, instead of saying, I can't do it, let's say what he's already told us in here. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I am not afraid. Do you see what I'm saying? But here's the thing. You got to do it more than once. So this is where repetition, and this is where, but here's the beautiful thing about the Bible. You can read a passage yesterday and you can go back and read it today and it's still fresh. This is not like reading old magazines in the doctor's office. God's word is alive and you can read it every day and it's still fresh. It's still new. It'll still help you. But if you'll begin to put it in, so whatever you're dealing with, you put it in your heart, and whatever you're beginning to deal with, you begin to say the same thing. And so this is what David did. David's like, the Lord who helped me with the lion and the bear, he's going to help me with this one. People say, well, I think I'd be afraid to say that. Listen, we would rather talk answers than talk problem. Everybody can talk problem, but God's on our side. And so we want to get to the place. You say, well, I'm just embarrassed to tell people that God's for me. Listen, do it in the privacy of your own home before you begin to share it with other people. This is for you. David had obviously learned, he had a fellowship with the Lord. He just believed, he talked this way all the time. So it becomes part of our regular speech, and we're telling the Lord about it, and pretty soon it just gets in us, it just flows out of us. We're not trying to impress anybody, we're just saying the Lord's helping us. The Lord's good. Does this make sense? And so this is what you're doing. So if you're having if you're reading this going, man, I don't know if I can say that God is for me, then go back and read that verse. And then take that verse and begin to say, Lord, I want to thank you that because you're for me, it doesn't matter who's against me. That you didn't even spare your own son, but you gave him up for me. And Father, you freed me, give me everything I need, all the wisdom I need, the help I need, the provision I need. Lord, I want to thank you for that. And what you're doing is, that's fellowshipping with the Lord. And see, and we've got a book that tells us what to say. So we don't have to come up with anything exciting. We just say, Lord, I want to thank you that your word says this, and I'm repeating your words back. Now, here's the beautiful thing. The more you begin to do that, the more it begins to get in you. And as it begins to get in you, it'll come out of you. You won't even have to work it up. You just begin to say, I can tell you, Joy, for a long time, leads our staff prayer on Tuesdays. And she's had the staff saying for a long time, I trust in the Lord with all my heart. I trust in the Lord with all my heart. And staff after staff person has told me that because she's had them say that and meditate that and think about that and confess that, that when they hit a hard time, one of the first things that rose up in them was, I trust the Lord with all my heart. And so that, but you got to get it in you before it comes out of you. So church is to help. But guys, this is what works on Thursday morning. This is what helps you Friday afternoon. This is what helps you when church isn't in session. You put it in. Does that help? That's not in my notes, but I thought it will sound different when you say it. When you say it, you're going to feel like, man, I feel like I'm lying. You're not lying if you're saying what he says. You're not, you're smart, because we've been so used to talking our feelings, so used to talking the problem, have you figured out that talking the problem does not make it better? Man, you can talk the problem, and the more you talk it, the bigger it gets. Pretty soon, man, it started this, and you talk the problem, then look up the problem, then you Google the problem, and you just talk the problem and talk the problem. And talk. Listen, if we can Google, we can talk about God. We can talk, Lord, you're good, you're helping me. You say, I don't know what to say. How about saying this? Lord, I know you're for me. I know you're helping me. I got help. That's all. Doesn't have to be anything big. But the more you put this in you, the more it will come out of you. We can recall on purpose. God can help us again, talking about what God has done for us in the past. If he's ever helped you in the past, can he help you again? We've leaned on that for years. If you've healed us in the past, you can heal us now. You provided in the past, Lord, you can still do it again. He hasn't lost his ability to help. So if he's ever helped you, that gives you something else to build on. Lord, thank you. You have been a blessing. Thank you, Lord, you've helped me. And then there's another part about David, and I like something that David said. He talked about how that Goliath had defied the armies of Israel. He had defied the armies of the living God. We believe God is for us. Here's something also good. We're for God. And by that I mean that God is for us, but we also realize I'm representing him. Now, this is mind renewal. We've got to think differently here. 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy. Paul is writing to slaves. He said, all of you who are under the yoke as slaves should regard their own masters as worthy of all respect. He didn't say they deserved it. He said regard them with all respect, so that God's name and his teaching will not be blasphemed. He's writing to slaves. He's writing to people that if you would think that the Lord just wants to comfort anybody, well, you just hang on till you get to heaven. It's all going to be better in heaven. He's saying, no, no. He said, he's writing to slaves. There are a lot of slaves that came to Christ during the early days of the church. I mean, it was the best news they had heard. And they would come in, and all of a sudden they realize if you're a slave on earth, but you're the Lord's free man. And so, man, that was a great message. They responded to that. But they're saying, listen, slaves, you got to treat your own masters with respect so that God's name and God's teaching is not blasphemed. Listen, guys, if that applies to slaves, how much more does it apply to us? That we have to understand that we're just not, well, I'm just a little Christian and I don't do much. And no, you represent the Lord. If they know you're a believer, you represent the Lord. So you want to do a good job because God's for you and you're for him. You're representing him. Oh, you know that. Do you like when your children do horrible? Your kids come home and he's like, 4 D's and an F. You go, what a great job. No, you go, what are you doing? Because you want them to represent you well. Oh, come on, we know. We see you at the Little League games and the T-ball games. We see how crazy y'all acting when your kids are up there, I think more fights break out in baseball games than anywhere else because parents are so intense because their children represent you and we represent him. So here's the deal. Instead of just saying, I'm just me and I'm going to work tomorrow, you go, Lord, I'm representing you tomorrow when I go into work. So I'm going to do a good job because I don't want your name and your teaching blasphemed. Y'all leave? I hear you breathing. I know you're in here. A number of years ago, I worked for a company. They're now called Insperity. I worked for Administaff when I was working for them. And I actually had a couple of bad years in sales. And I really, at this point, I started off great, then had some bad years. And I knew we were about to start the church. But my sales weren't that good. And my sales manager called me in, and I'll never forget, he said, he's a good friend, a believer. And he sits down, he said, so Alan, I hear you started a church. I'm like, who told you? He said, I hear all. And I looked down, I said, Steve, I said, I did. I said, but I really want to continue to work here. He said, well. He said, as long as you're working here and selling, he said, that's fine. I told him this. I said, I want to leave here on a good note. I hadn't sold well the past couple of years. I said, I want to leave well. And what I was saying was this. I didn't want anyone saying, Alan ran to the ministry because he couldn't cut it in sales. Because I didn't want God's name and God's teaching blasphemed. Everyone knew I was a believer. Everyone knew I was starting a church. So he said, no, that's fine. That from that month to when I left, my sales exploded. And I left, I mean, I made one of their trips. I won awards. But the thing that blessed me the most was no one could say Alan ran to the ministry. I left sales and went to the ministry. You see what I'm saying? We represent him. And the beauty of that is, then that makes it easier for me to believe that he's for me because I'm representing him. I'm his child. I belong to him. If you're his child, you belong to him. When those kids came down today, some beautiful families, beautiful children, whose parents are standing there, I didn't have to ask, who's this child belong to? Never heard of someone say, who does this child belong to? And you know, well, the parents were standing there, that's my child. And they were so dressed and so pretty because they represent parents. And we represent the Lord. But if we represent him, then when I'm dealing with something, it's just like, Lord, you have a problem. Since I have a problem and I belong to you, you have a problem. I tell him that all the time with the church. Lord, your church has a situation that needs to be dealt with. But can you see where I'm trying to go with this? David was saying, who is this giant who's defied the armies of the living God? He took up a cause that was God's cause. All I'm saying is begin to tie your life into your... You don't have just a religion that you put on Wednesdays or put on Sundays. You got a life with God, a living relationship with the living God. And so tomorrow, you still have just as much of a relationship with the living God as you do right now. It's just as real. And so maybe you're not in church. You don't get to hear people preach at you. You can listen to my devotions. You can just plug them in and I'll talk to you every day. But the idea is you represent him. And so it makes life different. I'm for God. He's for me. Amen. That's a good place. So when we hit a problem, it's like, Lord, I need you to help with this. See, here's the thing. If we take that step, and it's like, Lord, I want to represent you well. I want to do a good job. I want you honored. Then that's living a life that we don't just plug God in when there's a problem. That makes sense? You don't want to just plug him in when there's a problem. You want to plug him in where there's not a problem. Lord, I'm going to work today. I need your wisdom. I need your grace. Give me favor. I thank you for it. Thank you, Lord. I am blessed. Wherever I go, I'm blessed. I've looked at companies and told them, if you hire me, you will be blessed. I wasn't trying to be bragging. I just know this. I said, I'm a tither, and God blesses everything I set my hand to do, and you'll be blessed. I've had secular guys who didn't know the Lord at all go, amen. Because everybody wants to get blessed. I don't care where it comes from. It's like, oh, okay, hallelujah. But I represent him. It's not just me that represents him. See, y'all think I'm the only one that represents him. You do. Amen. You say, well, I'm a stay-at-home mom. You definitely do. Because you're impacting a child. You do. Appreciate you, Mom, backing me up. David faced and answered Goliath. I'll introduce this and we'll... Can you come back next week? That was a rhetorical question. So if you're going to say no, don't answer it. Okay. David, he goes down to face the giant. He took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the Wadi, the river, put them in his pouch, in his shepherd's bag. This is the Christian Standard Bible. Then with a sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. The Philistine came closer and closer to David with the shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he despised him. That word despised means he looked down on him, disregarded. He disregarded him because he was just a youth, healthy and handsome. He said to David, "My dog, did you come to me with sticks?" And he cursed David by his gods. "Come here," Philistine called to David. "I'll give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts." Is that it? That's it. You know, when I've read it off the screen, you know, when you have it here, you can just figure it out. David moved toward Goliath. He never ignored him or denied his existence. And Goliath tried to intimidate David, tried to belittle him, diminish him, and also predict his future. He's looking at David going, "I'm going to give your flesh to the birds." He's predicting his future. Now, let me just introduce, because we have a relationship with God, we do not ignore or deny the problems that we face. See, David never ran from him. He moved towards him. So when we're dealing with problems, because we have a relationship with God, because we have a God, then we don't have to run. We don't have to ignore that or deny. It's so easy just to ignore problems, but it doesn't make them go away. We face them. Philippians 4:13, you know this one. This is a good one. "I'm able to do all things through him who strengthens me." And Paul wrote verse 14, "Still you did well by partnering with me in my hardship." Paul was going through a hard time, but he just said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And so Paul faced challenges, but he also faced them in the strength of knowing that with God's help, I can do this. This is what I'm saying. One of the best things you can begin to say over your life, over your family, you just begin to speak out loud is, "Lord, I thank you that you are helping me. Right. And with your help, I can do all things that you've called me to do because you strengthen me." I think sometimes people say, "Well, I'm going to be an NFL quarterback because God's going to strengthen me." Well, I'm past the days of ever wanting to be an NFL quarterback, especially with the offensive line we have. But the idea is I can do all things that God's called me to do. I can do all things that I'm facing because he will strengthen me. And here's the thing. Again, we begin to build this in us, and then we believe we're going to win. And there's something powerful with believing you're going to win. When you believe you're going to win, you're going to face a problem. I've always used this analogy, but it makes sense. Whenever I was dating, I'd lived in the day where you couldn't text a girl. You couldn't even call her on a cell phone. There were no cell phones. When I dated, right after they invented the horseless carriage, you had to call a girl and often get her father and then get her and then ask her on a date. But there was a difference if I did what I called pre-approach. If I found out from a friend who knew a friend that I could ask that if she liked me or not. If she liked me, that was a different call. If I knew she wanted to date me, that was a totally different call than a complete cold call. A complete cold call is like, hello? I mean, hello? Would you like to go out? Really? You have to wash your hair? Okay, well. But, if I knew ahead of time that she liked me, I knew I'm going to win. So I go in with confidence. Hey, baby. How you doing? Good. Thought you and I get together. Yeah, right. Absolutely. It's a different call. If you believe you can handle it, it's a different call. If you believe that God can help you and you can handle the problems, you don't run from them. If you believe you can handle it, you go in with a lot more confidence. You go, you know what? Lord, you've helped me before. You will help me again. God is my helper. We will deal with this. And by the grace of God, we will come through it. That's a whole different attitude. And that's what David brought to the table. He brought that attitude that with God's help, he'll win. Okay. We'll take this up next week. You bow your heads for a moment. If you're here and you thought, you know what, I'm not sure. I'm not sure where I stand with the Lord. I'm not sure about my salvation. Or maybe at one time you were sure, and then life happened and you got away. We're going to say a prayer, and this prayer is for you. If you're online, this prayer is for you. We're not going to have you stand up. I'm not going to have you come to the front. That's the intent here. But the intent is to give you an opportunity to make a connection with the Lord. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking around. I'm going to ask you to do one thing, though. If you're saying, you know, tonight, I know I need the Lord in my life, and I want to be sure, or I know I need to come back to the Lord, and I want to be sure of that, and I want you to pray for me, would you pray? Would you just slip up your hand real quickly across this auditorium and say, Alan, that's me. Would you pray for me? Okay, great. Put your hands down. We're going to pray. Now, maybe you didn't lift your hand. You really wanted to. You can join us. We're going to join you with this as a church family. We're going to pray this out loud. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Father, thank you for those that prayed that prayer. Lord, thank you for those that have come to you and those who have come back, the ones who are here, the ones who are online. Lord, thank you that you're so open-armed, so merciful. Thank you for your goodness to us. And Father, for those of us here, thank you that we can begin to build into our lives how much you love us, how much you're for us, and how much we're for you. We give you all the praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.